Welcome to the Dynasty Think Tank. I am Chad Parsons. He is Jordan McNamara, and we share our research, experience, and acumen to build Dynasty winners and unlock ceiling outcomes. Now is the time to seek elite results. Front and center for our big thoughts of the week, and it is the trade of Justin Fields, the Dynasty prospect, the asset, as well as the NFL declining asset, a fascinating move going from Chicago to Pittsburgh and what that means. We've discussed him at large, and this is at the peak of his powers. Now certainly being traded for a sixth that could be a fourth, competing, quote unquote, with Russell Wilson, but who knows? There could be some other ripples coming as well. What are your thoughts on Justin Fields? We have not discussed this at all between episodes, and here we are with Fields changing teams.
Yeah, I mean, the writing's on the wall for this stuff. You got to be careful about being in on quarterbacks that have very risky profiles in the top 10 to 12 of dynasty drafts as recently as January, right? It was all last year, right? We put up the warning sign on all of those things, right? If you are going to be a quarterback, right, long-term in this league, right, you cannot be reliant on being a rusher and be a negative passer. That is not a surviving skill set at this time of the NFL arc, right? And that was the bet that a lot of people wanted to make. That was a bad bet. And all the sack metrics, all of the stuff that we found about lost dropbacks and pressure to sack rate and all of those things that point to a quarterback that really does not sustain long-term in the NFL, it came home to roost, unfortunately, for Justin Fields. So I think there's a bunch of takeaways from this, right? Number one, right, when you know something about quarterback and it really kind of is alarming, right? Don't sit and find out, right? Don't wait for the answer, right? Get out, you know, before this happens. That's one. The other one, I would just sort of caution people, right? We're gonna get four quarterbacks that get drafted in, I don't know, let's say the top 11 picks. It's very familiar of a couple of years ago when there were four quarterbacks drafted in the top 11 picks, right? With Justin Field being the fourth at 11. That draft class has turned into Trevor Lawrence, who I think by and large people think is a disappointment based on where he was coming in. Zach Wilson, who's doesn't have a job right now, is a backup. You got Trey Lance, who might be a third quarterback, depending on, you know, what Dallas would do if Dak Prescott was unavailable. And then you got Justin Fields, who's now backing up is in a battle, I guess, with Russell Wilson on his second team on a rookie deal, right? That's about as bad of an outcome, I think, that people would have thought from that draft class. And I just think you have to have that in your mind when you're looking at this draft and you see all these guys going high. Right. Be very cautious. Right. Be very, very cautious. So those are like the two big things that I would have. And I'll kick it to you. And then I have a couple of field specific thoughts really at this point.
Yeah. I think a couple thoughts. One is if there is any puppeteering that there were comments made from the Caleb Williams camp that Justin Fields can't be there type stuff, any. Like, that to me is, again, not a red flag, but it's tinged with yellow of like, you should not be scared of that guy. If you're going to be the 101 and you're the franchise savior and you're the Oracle, that should not really, a guy in his last year of his rookie contract that, you know, has a fifth year option that is not going to be picked up by the Chicago Bears. And literally, it would not really be much of a competition, you know, and it would be more on you if you're not ready for week one, more so than them being like, we got to start Justin Fields. So that's one comment I have, that if it's anything related to Caleb Williams is like, I'm not going there if he's there or whatever type stuff, that to me doesn't look good on anybody. The other part is Chicago saying we wanted to do right by him and take less. What NFL environment is this? When have we seen this happen? Like, because I don't think, here's the other thing I heard, and it makes sense to me. Who's to say, with that fifth year option being out in May, or who's to say that Justin Fields is on Pittsburgh's roster in week one? Why don't they just do the repurposing, which is I mean, if there's an August injury, you don't think there's going to be a bigger market for Justin Fields than in the doldrums of March when everybody else is looking at veterans, scouting the rookie class, and Justin Fields at that moment couldn't be worth more than a sixth? Are you serious? Like, it is well within possibilities there. So that those two things, time frame wise, just kind of was my first NFL centric thought. And then the other part is I still remember back when we traded Justin Fields, or the pick that became Justin Fields and was lauded in our league, to get at the down point of Deshaun Watson. And there were points over from that deal being executed where we knew Watson was not, I think that year specifically, he was not going to play. We were taking a zero and Justin Fields was coming in and he was going to, probably play and see starts and all that. And he got up to the point of what market value QB offhand, what, six, seven? Does that sound about right? His peak powers. And again, he still had concerns at that point in time, but again, a lot of rushing, all those types of things. And, but now, not to say what's funny is that trade, it's not like neither side is without flaw. It's not like we're sitting here and we're like, we love Deshaun Watson. We love this. He got all the way back to peak Houston days and, but he at least survived Justin Fields in terms of turmoil about who's a starter and for what duration from this point forward. And at points it looked like both of them, oh, Watson's going to come back, he's going to be fine, and Fields is going to be starting forever. I'm sure there was mantras like that, but I just find that deal interesting because both sides have issues, and it sometimes it's about avoiding the floor or avoiding the catastrophic versus like hitting the home run sometimes.
I agree with that. I think the interesting part now is like, where do you see Fields? I mean, there are trades for him where he's going for a future first. I mean,
Yeah.
I can't believe that
What
exists.
parallel universe? Yeah.
I don't understand that. Like,
Well,
there's
he
zero
has
chance they're
dropped.
gonna take a, there's zero chance that they're gonna exercise the fifth year option. Like, I just want to
Yeah.
make that clear.
Well, the Steelers, yes, zero
That is
chance.
not going to happen. So just get that out of your mind. If you're thinking that, again, like, you know, what's the guarantee? If
Well,
you look
here's
at a
the
lot of
he
these guys, what's the guarantee he's a starter? He's a
but
week one
he's ahead
starter
of
again.
He's at like when you bottom out like this, you kind of need to go Baker, full Baker Mayfield, right? I mean, Baker
Right.
Mayfield rose from the ashes from a prove it low level deal. He got a spot start with the Rams that fueled another opportunity, and then he ends up taking advantage, being healthy and vibrant, and there with Tampa and earning a new contract, earning some sense of allegiance. And I mean, Justin Fields is ahead of JJ McCarthy, which is. You cannot do that. That is malpractice in terms of dynasty valuation because one of those guys is going to start fresh with a rookie contract, a first round rookie contract, probably in the top 10. And one of them is out there being traded for a ham sandwich and might get traded again, might, quote unquote, compete with Russell Wilson. Like more career starts, like Justin Fields is ahead of Will Levis. Who again, I got many problems with you people, but Will Levis in a week one starter somewhere, earmarked right now. Even if they draft a rookie, right? I mean, you would still say he's the favorite. And he's going ahead of McCarthy, Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Geno Smith. Why? Why is
Don't
he
know.
not more like QB 30, 35? Like that sounds a lot more sensical. With the knowledge and information we have now, and we know, like I do see the idea that you don't see profiles like this just sitting as some QB2. You probably see them flame out entirely out of the NFL more so than just sitting there as a backup. But when I started looking at how dependent he is on rushing for his fantasy production, the success stories that come out of this is you have to train like Josh Allen is the prototype of this, which is depend on rushing early in your career at some point, and you probably get a couple cracks season-wise at it to develop as a passer. And the key number for me is 35%. I looked at this historically. When you're at 35% of your fantasy points rushing or higher, and you start logging multiple seasons like that, you're either the absolute freak of freaks. We had concerns all through his career with Cam Newton, but he had a big that when they went to the Super Bowl, that probably buoyed him extra time with Carolina by 35 touchdowns, going to the Super Bowl, wrecking teams, 15 wins, I think they had. Jalen Hurts has developed to some degree And then you've got, the tush push factor, the overt rushing touchdowns. So he's a little bit of a case, but he's a heck of a lot better passer than Justin Fields. And then you have Lamar Jackson, who, I mean, we still can't figure out what planet he was born on, because that guy, like, he played this way in Louisville, and we're like, no way this translates. He's really been quite durable, and it's been mind blowing. So Lamar Jackson is that by the case of cases, but you could argue he's been a much better passer than Justin Fields. And then Josh Allen progressed through it. Jalen Hurts, to some degree, progressed through it. That's the whole list for like 15 years. So if you're not one of those guys or one of those storyboards, and Fields is not, then you shouldn't be surprised by this outcome. And here's the other, can I ask you one thing? I've been wanting to ask you this all week. Do you think Justin Fields today would be on the Bears if they had their natural 109 selection only in this draft?
Yes, I think they'd run it back with them another year.
How high of a pick could they have had? And we wouldn't have this daily diatribe of when is Justin Fields not going to be on the team? They had 105.
I think if they were sitting at 102, it's probably a real discussion, right? I think that
Okay.
it's a real discussion at 102.
Okay. Well, what you're kind of alluding to is either one of two things. Either number one, like again, the Caleb Williams camp thing, or again, something that I just don't buy, but this Caleb Williams is the truth. Like it's
I
one
think
of
there's
those two
people that think
things.
that. And I
I
just,
know
I,
there are
yeah.
almost everybody, apparently.
Right. Yeah. The market, by the way, has gone like completely crazy on him to one. Like it's like he's up to minus 2,500. So they're going to take him, it looks like.
Well,
I
they
thought that there
better.
was
Well,
some.
they better take a quarterback now. That's
Well,
all
they're
I
going
know
to
there.
take a quarterback. I
Yeah.
was wondering if there was a chance that someone else could open into that, and that does not look like it's been the case. So it looks like he's locked in at one. Like I do wonder if they would be interested in moving to two, but right? I do think that's an interesting debate for them. So we'll see there, like on that. But again, I think if this is a team that was sitting at two or three, they're probably more open to moving out, sort of doing what happened with Jalen Hurts, which was let's kick the can another year. Like, let's see. We got some, it was it was decent. We saw some intriguing stuff, but let's kind of kick the can one more year. We'll stockpile the picks. And then Jalen Hurts went and became, took a huge leap forward. And they didn't draft a quarterback. Like I could see that scenario happening with Justin Fields if they weren't picking at like one or two. But like this is a cautionary tale. Like you don't take, right? Like don't take outlier profiles. And the funny part to me is that Fields was very, from the time he basically entered the NFL, he came into the NFL later in the draft than I think most people thought that he was going to go in
Right.
the dynasty circles. And that never adjusted, right? It never adjusted. And yes, they traded up from like 19 or wherever they were to 11 and traded a future first, and they did all that. But at the end of the day, he was still the 11th pick in the draft. And I just saw something that Eric Yeager passed around, some work that he had done, back right when the draft was going on from that year. He'd done a bunch of like analytics on scouting reports of Justin Fields. And one of the things that was interesting was they all had very similar concerns that when he tested it, like those numbers actually came out much worse, which was in line with a lot of the feedback we've gotten now, which is that the market, the NFL teams are just not that interested in what the services that he offered. So I do find like that there was a lot of smoke to be concerned about him. And again, one of the things, like the other thing about like concerns me a little bit about Caleb Williams, I haven't done a lot of rookie study, but his time to throw is like the only person ever longer than Caleb Williams,
Yeah.
excuse me, than Justin Fields. And the problem with that is like, is that a processing thing? Or is that, are you going to play on schedule? Like there's a lot of that stuff that rings of some of those concerns. And when you see outliers like that, it just, those play style outliers are harder success stories, I think. And people love them because they're fun to watch. But I do it, the, just those play style outliers give me some concerns. And I can't, I just can never really shake them, especially a quarterback at a position where we're really bad at predicting guys coming in how they're going to perform.
It's tough to get it right no matter what. And the last thing I would say is this is the pu Justin Fields is the classic example of push pull, which is we love the rushing, right? I mean, fantasy, it's the fast track to producing well. I mean, if you don't, you know, the Drew Brees, the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's, I mean, that's the ideal because it translates year over year. It translates from college to pro. You know, you can tilt offenses. But the problem is that is tough to score, especially with more athletic profiles in general in the NFL. Like you see, you know, Josh Allen's a good passer. You see Patrick Mahomes is a good passer. However, they add way more rushing than some of the top throwing quarterbacks that we saw, you know, a decade ago. I mean, one of our go-to lines is Tua can lead the league in passing, and he can still finish as a low QB1. So that's how much of an uphill climb it is if you don't run. So Justin Fields, every game he starts or started, he looked good fantasy-wise because he's running around. But the risk is how long will you start if you don't show that progression? Year two, year three, end of your rookie contract? We're seeing the answer to that part is no. So that's, again, just think about this on be looking for those tea leaves and, you know, on Anthony Richardson or any of these guys that are rushing centric. It could be Jaden Daniels. We'll see about that, you know, how he looks this year with early data points. But just know that at some point, you got to deliver as a passer. You got to show progression. You got to get all the way. You know, Jalen Hurts progressed to the point of new contract, franchise guy. Like he came all the way. Josh Allen came all the way home. So that's where you need to go. And if you have concern coming out, again, fantasy wise, production wise, run around, it's fine. However, the risk factor of keeping the job for the long term, and we're seeing a hotter seat than normal with some of these quarterbacks where they're going to recycle and year three, year four, they're going to dump you, they're going to draft somebody else, and they're not afraid to churn because it's a new staff. Most likely, if they draft a guy and they whiff in the first round, how many years are they going to get if the tea leaves are negative? So think about all those things where it's glorious, it's a great ride, but at some point there could be a rushing hangover because that production is not leading to a stabilized assignment as a starting quarterback. All right, on that lens, we got a rushing quarterback in, did I get enough? Lamar Jackson. So we got a deal here where you're dealing Lamar Jackson for Trevor Lawrence, Evan Ingram, and a 25 second with a little bit of tight end premium at 1.5 there for Ingram and the pick.
By the way, we discussed Trevor Lawrence on the premium side this week over at Patreon. So you can go find that patreon.com/dynastythinktank and check out all that. Two good shows this week. Some fun stuff over there. We put Chad on the hot seat for some trades as well, which was fun. I am taking Lamar Jackson here pretty clearly. I think that there's a case that Trevor Lawrence is probably underpriced in Dynasty, but I do think that Lamar Jackson's an elite quarterback, and I don't think, I really like Evan Ingram, but the format, again, it's 1.5, it's not 2, and again, I think he's a little bit more replaceable with some other options there, at a deeper position, right? You're getting a near apex predator in Lamar Jackson, like you take Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, if this is the first, a little tougher of a decision.
No.
Okay.
I mean,
All right, there you go.
yes, but no, I would still take Lamar Jackson.
Okay. We got another arbitrage at quarterback here. We got Joe Burrow for Jordan Love and Cooper Kupp.
This one's really interesting, and I'd be more apt to do it if it was someone other than Cup. Like,
Yeah.
I am a little nervous on some of the injury concerns with him. We saw him fade a little bit last year, right? I do wonder if there's some degenerative injury stuff with him that we're not that's been speculated on by people that know some of these things that about that. So that stuff gives me a little concern there. You are taking a step back from Burrow to Love in a value perspective. I could argue that Love is a better quarterback than Burrow this year, and especially for fantasy, I could see that occurring. I just don't think you're getting the bang for your buck moving off of Burrow to Love with Kupp. If that was a
Yeah.
first, if it was another meaningful, like a meaningful sort of two-way out type player, I'd be a little bit more open to that.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I think it needs to be someone different than Cup, and this is a bit of a leap of faith. You know, you need an older player that's had a big workload in a stretch run of his prime, and now you're going to see on the same offense with Puka Nacua, who would have said that 12 months ago, that that Cup needs to come all the way back and show that as an older player, he's going to bounce back to 2, 3 years ago. It becomes harder. It becomes more difficult in that capacity. So yeah, I really like Love, but I want that second piece to be something else. And I think you should be able to get it. So I think you, I don't know how many options you had, but you know, you can send other iterations of that of the same idea. Next, we have the rare get a quarterback, don't give one up type trade. So we got Brandon Ayuk. Maybe he's not on the 49ers at some point. We have Ayuk for Deshaun Watson. And then 2 seconds this year and a third. So three ancillary picks there.
I have a hard, I really like Ayuk as a player. I got a hard time giving up a quarterback in 2 seconds to take Ayuk.
Yeah.
I think this is like dirt cheap Watson.
And it's not Aaron Rodgers, right? You know, or
Right.
someone that is on a defined lens.
Right. Where you could see a scenario where Watson rebounds. And I like, even if Watson doesn't rebound to what he was and somehow is like a mid-tier quarterback too, like I still
Yeah.
think you're probably winning this deal. And like he was okay from a fantasy perspective last year when he played. Again, like you don't necessarily love the experience with that, but if you just sort of shut your eyes and didn't look, like the outcome wasn't that bad. So I would take the quarterback. And again, I like Ayuk as a player. I'd try and recreate him in the aggregate with those 2 seconds.
Yeah, I like in those seconds and a reminder for how good Brandon Ayuk is that fantasy wise, his highest adjusted points per game finish is wide receiver 13. So this idea that he could go to another situation, it could be great. He could elevate. Again, coming into his age 26 season, he's yet to have a top 12 finish. So let's just keep that in mind that the market value aspect of this is going to be tough for him to like really rise based on his age and the fact that he hasn't gotten to certain thresholds yet. Like it's kind of getting late in the game. So he might very well be one of those mid guys when you look at, like you can watch him and say that's a great route. But for him fantasy wise to get over the hump and dynasty market value wise, like this is a pretty nice haul, like you said, to get Watson who has some outs, you know, that if he flashes, I mean, you have options. And 2 second round picks are something in Superflex. Last one here, we got Aaron Rodgers and Chris Olave, and we're going to kind of flip it with the positions here. We got Dak Prescott and Derrick Henry, so cornerstone wide receiver, but cornerstone quarterback and a running back we hope to get a couple years out of in Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I would take the quarterback side of this. So give me Dak. I really like Olave, but I'm going, premium quarterback, premium position for a guy I think's a premium player at that position for a non-premium position in Olave. And again, what do we? R Rodgers is 40, coming off an injury with, a receiving core that I'm not super compelled by at the moment. I understand it could get better, but for all those reasons, I'm a little bit cautious on the Jets. So give me the Dak side of this. And again, I think you've got an interesting way with like Henry that he could play to an Olave. He could score a parallel to Olave and you crush Rodgers on that side with Dak Prescott. So give me Dak.
Yeah, you can't understate the added expected years at a premium position there between Dak and Rodgers, about a 10-year age difference. And again, the moment Rodgers, and it might be right now, the moment he doesn't produce at like a top 10 to 15 level, you're going to hemorrhage in this deal. Like it's a bloodbath. And if Henry replicates Olave for a year or two, it gets even worse. So be very careful about giving up years, giving up prime windows there at the premium positions in leagues like this. All right, you mentioned it in passing, but we got the premium side of Dynasty Think Tank this week. We talked a little bit about our cardio challenge coming up, a lot of sciencey sort of stuff, sort of some research on getting ready for this. And then also, obviously, bridged in some dynasty talk, some quarterback talk, some NFL draft talk, all of those machinations there in the second half of that show. And then on the other end, Jordan mentioned it, but he did some peppering. I was the salt, he was the pepper there for about 10 minutes of rapid fire trade discussion. And I love it because it, obviously, sight unseen, it keeps you on your toes and you get someone's real reactions and going through deals that. Obviously, both of us have a lot of weekly experience in going through trades for folks on a regular basis. So you can catch all of that, those premium episodes. Again, thank you so much for rating and reviewing us on the free episode. But patreon.com/dynastythinktank, you get all that additional content. And it's just a way for you to say hello and a way for you to say, hey, we support what you are doing. Thank you so much for that. And we really appreciate it. Thanks so much for listening to this show, Dynasty Think Tank, on a weekly basis. Follow us on Twitter at Chad Parsons NFL, at McNamara Dynasty. Also, you can check out our Dynasty content streams we have over at analyticsofdynasty.com and utsdynasty.com. Unlock your ceiling and seek elite results. All right.